Welcome to the Ask Zach Show. I'm your host, Zach Childs. I've spent the last 30 years working in the music industry here in Nashville, Tennessee, during which I've done everything from touring with major artists like Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood to playing the nastiest dive bars or even the occasional wedding. This show is all about barreling down the rabbit hole on all things guitar and the music we love. We will cover the legendary players, gear insights, and even some interviews along the way. I hope you enjoy. To support the show, follow the links in the description to find out about my Patreon page. Or go to my store at AskZach.com to pick up a coffee mug or t-shirt. Now, let's dive in. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Ask Zach. Today, we're going to talk about a solution for when you are given the buzz kill of the year phrase from one of your bandmates or venue cats when they tell you you got to turn down. Man, especially after you've just played like a great solo or you thought you played really well on something and you're expecting to hear, man, that was great, Zach. Instead, you hear, hey, Zach, can you turn it down some? It's really too loud for the stage, too loud for the room. It's a buzzkill. So today we're going to talk about some solutions. We're going to talk about baffling. And we're going to talk about different methods. And and we're going to give kind of the pros and cons of each, because all of them have kind of, you know, pluses and minuses for, what they offer. So, but before we dive in, I want to thank my Patreon members that really are what keeps this show going, and they mean so much to me. They get to see the episodes early without commercials, and they're really near and dear, and so I'm very appreciative. So if you want to find out more, go down into the description, and you can follow the link to Patreon. All right, let's dive in. So you've been told you're too loud. Well, you know, on the fly, there's, you know, a number of things you can do when you don't have anything with you per se. You know, you could physically turn the amp down, but as we all know, when you turn the amp down, a lot of times you get a different tone, a different sound. Now, if you can turn it down and it still be acceptable, great. You know, you do that. If you can't, then you're finding different ways of blocking the sound some way. Basically, you're baffling. So, you know, one, you know, you can turn the amp around, which means you're going to get less direct sound toward the audience, but you're going to get a lot of ambient sound on stage because you've got that, you know, all of a sudden you've got the back of the amp, you know, kind of doing its thing. But it's not a terrible thing, and it certainly will work in a pinch. Another thing, you know, you can do is you can put cases in front of it, which this is kind of, it can work, but it's kind of an eyesore. So, I mean, you can take, you know, road cases. So I've seen guys that have Tele flight cases, you know, big rectangular ones, you know, anvil type cases, and they will just, put them in front of the amp to, block the sound coming off of it. That can work, you know, that can do a pretty good job. You'll get some reflection off the case, and depending on how your case looks, it can be kind of an eyesore. If you have like stenciling on it and a bunch of crazy stickers that are, it just can be kind of a distraction and an eyesore. Another thing you can do in a pinch is, and I've seen Guthrie Trapp do this, is some, you know, on fly dates, he'll request two reissued deluxe reverb amplifiers, and if he's told that he's too loud, he will just put one of them in front of the other. So he requests two of them so that he has a backup in case one doesn't sound good, but also he can just take one of them and put it in front of the other, that way, you know, you still get some sound coming through, because of course you have the opening, and but you know, it's all kind of coming through the cabinet itself and the speaker. So not that anything electronically is going through there, but it just kind of helps to block some of it off. Another thing that I'm amazed that people don't think about more is just turning the amp away from the front of house guy or gal. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody with a Twin or a Marshall 412 or whatever, and they point it right toward the front of house guy. And it's like, what a stupid move. Yeah, another thing you can do is just turn the amp away from your singer and the front of house guy. Angle it outward or something like that. Angle it off to the side. If that still doesn't work, then you really, and those are the kind of in a pinch things, then you have to start thinking about, well, can I run a speaker and a speaker can I run a head and a cabinet, and then I can put a a blanket over the speaker cabinet, and that kind of does its own thing, because it really kind of deadens the sound, because you don't realize how much you're used to the mic picking up little bits of the room and things like that. And so when you put that mic on the speaker cabinet and then cover it with a blanket, all of a sudden you're getting this really dead sound. And that's not always bad, but it's just something that you kind of have to get used to. So now let's talk about some techniques that you can do when you're a little more prepared. And let's say you're religiously getting the comment from your singer, front of house, bandmates, that you're too loud. And you're just kind of dead set on, my amp has to be set at this volume, and that's just the way I'm going to do it. Well, back in the years ago, people started taking their amps and they would run it behind like the drum riser or any other kind of riser or even just back behind other things. They run their amp. The pros to that is, of course, you get less direct sound going out into the audience. The cons are, if it's a regular stage, and especially if it's the back of the stage is a hard surface, you get a lot of reflection and you get a lot of just ambient noise that just goes on, and it just kind of clutters up a mix. And it's not the end of the world, but it's just not great. Another thing that that's can be problematic, and I've had this happen to me a couple times, either playing or teching, is that I've had an amp where it was running behind the stage, and especially if it's an outdoor festival and there's an open area at the back of the stage, people think they can just walk through that. And sometimes there has to be security there to stop people from walking through. And I've had people trip on a mic cable or something like that, and all of a sudden the mic on my amp, instead of being on it, it was pointed down or it's pointed to the left or right or whatever. And you start the show and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, my guitar is like, it has no volume and sounds terrible. And then you have to get someone to help you, or you have to go look around at the back of the stage, which is a bunch of nonsense and destroys your show. And then you see that your microphone has been moved and you have to reposition it. Probably another problem with that is the cable run. So of course you're going to have to run much longer, regular, guitar cables, which are really not the best thing to run, a lot of guitar cable, just because of the capacitance and signal loss. So Radial and other companies have little boxes that will take your signal down to low impedance, and then it'll convert it back to high impedance back at the amp, and you can do that. Probably a better thing to do is to run to a head that's on stage with you, and then you have a speaker cabinet that's running to the back of the stage, because it's much better to run long speaker cables than guitar cables, because there's much higher level of signal going through a speaker cable than there is a guitar cable. If we want to move up from there, then let's get on to real baffling with probably the most common baffle that you see on pro stages, and that's the plexiglass shield, which is usually a two pieces of plexiglass that have a little hinge connecting them, and they're usually kind of put in a V shape, you know, in front of an amp. This is a good method. You keep kind of the stage look, and a lot of guitar players really like this because you can still see the amp. It doesn't hide the amp, which, you know, a lot of times if you're, you know, if you've got some cool Vox amp or a vintage Tweed Fender or some boutique-y thing or something like that, or a Red Dr. Z or what have you, you kind of got that amp because you like the sound, but also sometimes you like the visual look of it, and you want people to know what kind of amp you're using. Maybe you have an endorsement, yada, yada, yada. So with that, you know, you can use the plexiglass shield. You can open that in front of the amp. People are still able to see it. And also it prevents a lot of sound from coming forward. The con of this is that it's doing this by reflecting the sound. So it's not absorbing anything. It's taking all the sound that's coming out of the speaker and it's reflecting it back. So you're gonna get some reflection that goes into the microphone. You're also gonna get a lot of, especially if you have your amp on stun and you have these things in front of it, you're gonna get a lot of ambient stage volume that's not even gonna be really, very defined sounding. It's just gonna be kind of this kind of guitar sound that's kind of be just spreading all over the stage like a bad disease. Again, it can be dealt with. The reflection, they can deal with that EQ-wise because it's, you know, the reflection is going to be a lot of, you know, especially right there from the plexiglass to the microphone and the amp, you know, you're going to get some high end coming back. And of course, they can EQ that out. Another, you know, methodology is one that I learned from Todd Sharp. And of course, Todd Sharp has Todd Sharp amplifiers. And of course, as a guitarist, he worked for Rod Stewart and, you know, all sorts of other cats. And he had original Dumbles. And of course, he has his own wonderful line of amps. But he, for a long time, he was really into Ampeg, V2s, V4s. And he got, you know, those are not quiet amps. They're pretty loud. And so he learned a lot of methodologies for making it more stage friendly, especially certain sizes of stages. And when he was getting requested to turn down, especially like if you were doing TV, if you're doing Austin City Limits or something like that, then, you kind of needed to really deal with that volume issue. So he would at times disconnect some of the speakers in the amp and take it even down to where it was just one speaker instead of four. And then also he had another method where Todd would take a piece of heavy black felt that was the exact same size as the grill cloth on the amp, and he would attach it to the front of it, to the grill cloth. And then he would go all the way down, and then he would peel up just from the bottom of the amp, from one of the corners, he would peel up just enough where you could mic it up, where you could get the edge of the speaker. And that's how he would run the amp, how he wanted it to sound. And he would just run it through one speaker, and then he would have that piece of heavy black felt, which that's going to absorb sound, and it's especially going to get a lot of high end. And that's going to be what's really going to get people, getting in an uproar real quick is high end, you know, especially any kind of piercing high end that hits them. So that's a good, you know, methodology where you're actually absorbing some of the sound. And then of course he's disconnecting some of the speakers. Now there are load boxes and things like that, which I have not had a lot of luck with those. Unless you're just using it in a subtle fashion, like if you're just a little bit too loud, then a load box can work well. Okay. Because it's just kind of having to take it down some, but when you're having to really bring down your volume a lot with a load box, unless you've just found the magic load box, I think most of them just kind of they don't really have a lot of responsiveness, and it ends up just kind of sounding anemic. All right, let's get to the final option that I'm going to throw at you, and that's there are what we used to do back 20 years ago was many times when we were told that we were too loud and we brought stuff with us, was we would take a piece of plywood that would have Oralex or some type of foam on it, and we would just prop it in front of the amp. It didn't look good, especially if it was on the front, but if your amps were backwards, if they were facing the back of the stage and they were behind stuff, then that was a really good way of taking the stage volume down, and there was a lot of sound being absorbed by the foam instead of it just, being reflected back everywhere. And so that was, that was a good, method, but it just looked really ugly, especially if you had it on the front side of the stage and all of a sudden you've got this piece of plywood, even if you've painted it black and you've got nice foam on it, it's like, then you've got this piece of wood, leaning up against your amp. Well, more recently, a guy named John Spate, he came up with a bit more advanced take on this and much better looking, and he started making Spate baffles. And so this is it. So as you can see, it kind of looks like an amplifier. It's got Tolex on it and a handle. It's got grill cloth. The difference is it's skinny. And on the back side, it is filled to the brim with sound absorbing material. So you've got different types of foam, and you've got this grill, and everything that's used here is specifically used to really absorb as much sound as possible and not reflect it back. So that really solves a lot of issues with baffling, where you don't have the reflection issues and creating all this ambient stage volume. It's really absorbing it. And so here's a little clip that I did, kind of a quick and dirty clip where I got my Vox AC10 and I cranked it up, about halfway and played a couple licks, played a little bit of Hello Trouble on there, the solo, and played it, without the baffle and then with the baffle, just so you could see how much sound it is absorbed by it. All right, so there you could see that it does a really good job of taking the volume level down for the person that's, even in that clip where you're, just a couple feet away from the amplifier. The one downside, is that, of course, you're going to have to carry this thing around. So, it's light. It's, it's not heavy, but it's another thing to carry in. And, you would just need to be, prepared for that. And if your amp sound is important and this solves it, then, I'd rather use that than a load box or something like that. So, these are being used on a lot of big stages. And, I've seen Tom Bukovac use them out on the road and all sorts, and Justin Butler with Through Tone, who has been playing out with Gary Allen and other acts. And they're getting more and more popular. And they're even becoming really popular here in Nashville at venues, which I think it's really smart for venues to buy these things, because it's a way for the venue to have a solution when the guy comes in with an amp. So, there are Old Red and a number of other of the big clubs here on Broadway. They have the Spate baffles there, and they don't care if you bring your amp or if you use their amps or whatever, but they've got that there to kind of keep it down to a volume where people are still able to enjoy a drink and have a conversation and such, and be able to enjoy your music. I do need to add that, of course, you know, this one looks like a Fender amp, you know, with the Fendery Tolex and grill cloth, but you can get them with more of a Vox or Marshall look in different colors that you can custom order. But these are really nice. So, yeah, you can, I'll put a link in the description so that you can go check out John's site. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I hope you, you know, got some different ideas and solutions for when you are told that you're too loud. So, you know, some kind of quick and dirty ones and some ones that you could actually, you know, plan for and know, you know, kind of the pros and cons of each solution. So again, I need to thank my Patreon members, and I hope you all have a great week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Ask Zach podcast. If you want to dive deeper, check out my website, askzach.com, to find more articles and further info on each episode. And remember, it is the support from you, the listener, that keeps the show going. Thank you, friends.